After the spring semester concludes, UW-Milwaukee will begin to close its Waukesha campus due to declining enrollment. In recent years, six branch campuses of the Universities of Wisconsin system have been shuttered or are in the process of closing. In the aftermath, a community that was once home to a two-year campus may turn into what is called an education desert, where the nearest campus offering college coursework is miles away. The College for Rural Wisconsin aims to bridge that gap and make college attainable. The program is based at UW-Madison and is focused on the needs of students who live in rural communities. Jennifer Blazek is its director. Jennifer, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me today.
And Nick Hillman is here, a professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison School of Education. Nick, welcome.
Thank you for the invitation.
Nick, you've been studying the trends in these education deserts around the country. Can you help us understand how you define one?
Absolutely. There are places all over the country that have either zero public colleges nearby, or they have one public college nearby. And in those cases, if a prospective student was thinking about where to go to college, and if they wanted to go to a public college, and publics tend to be more affordable than privates, then they either have zero or one choice available to them. And so what I've done over the last several years is plot out these places all over the country, and it turns out that about 1 in 10 people live in one of these education deserts.
Are there more dots on your map now? Is this trend growing?
You know, that's a great question. In pockets, yes, there are places where colleges are either consolidating, closing altogether, or they are eliminating different program offerings. And so certainly there are changes. And I think another thing happening all over the country, especially in rural places, is that enrollments are just kind of slowing down and in many places even declining. And so you have a few different challenges here that make it difficult as a researcher to keep up with. But for people living in these places, certainly it affects their opportunities.
Jennifer, you oversee College for Rural Wisconsin. How is this program a bridge to reaching those students in rural areas and getting them the access they seek in their career goals and in higher education?
Yeah, so we do a couple different things that really try to reach students where they're at. A lot of times in higher ed, what happens is it's a you come to us mentality, like, right, you come to campus, we have programs here. What we do is we flip that on our head and we actually go out and meet students, families, where they're at in their own rural communities. And another key framework that I've used a great success is having a near peer mentoring. So I am a small team. It's just me and my rural peer advisors who are current college students, currently at Madison, but who are also rural students themselves. And so we go out to these communities, to schools primarily right now, and we meet students. My rural peer advisors are the ones who are teaching. They are presenting the sessions. They are meeting with students, answering, fielding questions. And so it's that near peer networking that happens. And that's been really successful.
Jennifer, I'm wondering, what do you learn from these families and the students you talk with in these rural areas? What are their biggest fears?
I would say a lot of questions, a lot of concerns about how to pay for college. Hmm. Also, is college right for me, right? Like in a lot of rural and small town communities, and this is not a negative at all. It's just there's a really higher value on entering the workforce than going into college. And just for clarification, I use college to mean any higher education, two-year, four-year, public, private, in-state, out-of-state. What students and families are hearing is that, you know, why spend all that money to go into higher education when you can get a job and start making money right away? You don't necessarily need that degree, right? So I think there's a lot of pushback in some communities about that. Also, just the fear of the cost. How far away from my family do I have to go to college? Nick was talking about education deserts. A lot of rural communities are very far away from any, even technical colleges here in the state. And then just fitting in. I know even talking to my rural peer advisors, there's a lot of that cultural transition that has to happen for students. Can I recreate a community on a campus that's far away from my own community and still feel like I'm part of something?
Nick, I wonder what comes up for you as you hear about Jennifer's approach and what she encounters in rural areas?
Two different things come immediately to mind. The first one, I think what Jennifer's really getting at is the culture of colleges. Every college across the country has its own unique kind of history, and they serve their unique academic mission. And there's, you know, big name brand colleges, and there's colleges down the road that maybe don't have as big of a name of a brand. every college has to be ready for their students. You know, we talk a lot about students being ready for college. I think Jennifer's team kind of flips things on the head too and says, wait, make sure these colleges are ready for these students. And how can students, when they get to the college, wherever it might be, how can they be themselves, have their whole selves present, and not feel like they have to be somebody else or feel like a fish out of water when they're there? On the research side, it's just consistent with what we've been studying and learning over the past decades of how do students transition successfully into and through college. The other side of the coin is this whole distance thing and how far away from my home community am I willing to go? Can I afford to go?
We are talking about higher education deserts and the domino effect in rural communities. We have Nick Hillman of the Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison. Jennifer Blazek is here, director of the College for Rural Wisconsin. It's a college access program. Nick, I want to follow up here on what you called this distance thing. I mean, colleges that we see here in Wisconsin, they branch campuses close when they hit low enrollments. Meanwhile, rural areas are generally becoming less populated. What does this landscape then look like in terms of education deserts here in Wisconsin?
That's a great question. I track it as best I can. So what I say is sort of from, in many ways, the outside looking in. Of course, in the northern part of the state, there are lower population density, and you see a number of branch campuses playing really important roles in their communities. But you also have the technical college system. And so for some listeners, you might not distinguish between technical college and a branch campus, but in terms of what kind of programs and degrees are offered, there's a lot of variation depending on what type of college is available in a local area. And so in the northern part of the state, a lot of technical colleges and branch campuses, but even in the sort of central and southwestern part of the state, you have pockets of communities that have had branch campuses either lose enrollments pretty significantly or have to sort of reimagine their purpose. If a college closing down, for example, in a number of places in Wisconsin, I think it's been about 5 different branch campuses have either closed or had to kind of rethink what they're doing. And so in rural places, you might not have as many options to sort of like repurpose an old building. But if you're in a more urban place, there might be a lot of opportunities to repurpose an old building. And so I think it's not just about the college access side of the house and rural students knowing which colleges are going to be available to them, but it's also important to think about these colleges as being really important social places for communities, big employers, and so on.
I think then, Jennifer, being a social place where you grow and learn about the world around you, that aspect, and people might say, well, why can't these students just turn to online coursework to further their higher educational goals? Can you respond to that?
Yeah, definitely. I would say there's a couple different challenges or barriers to online. One is, you know, just that students might not be successful in that learning module, right? Like it takes a different approach to learning. A lot of times small town students really function and succeed better in in-person type situations. And maybe it's just not what they want to see for their education. So it does open up possibilities, but it also restricts and may cause them to not feel like they belong. Also, it's really hard to build community online in some of those spaces. And so, like Nick was saying, a lot of times it's on the colleges and the departments who are offering those online programs to really be intentional about building community spaces in those online areas. And another is just access to broadband. Even yet in Wisconsin, our rural and small town communities just do not have, they may have broadband, but it might be very expensive. It might not be as high quality. I know when I was an extension, I lived up in Northwest Wisconsin, and even my broadband access was very limited for doing my work. And that was, 10 years ago. And now it still is very limiting for folks.
I'm imagining myself, Jennifer, trying to walk in the shoes of that high school guidance counselor who knows that geography matters, that there may not be a campus within a reasonable drive, 10, 15, 20 miles away, but you're also trying to find solutions to help your students achieve their educational goals. Is that a predicament?
Oh, totally. And a lot of times, most of the rural and small town school district staff are, they're overwhelmed. They have a lot, like school counselors, to your example, most of them in that small districts are serving the entire district rather than having a counselor for elementary, a counselor for middle, counselor for high. They're doing the whole school. system. So, you know, it's just a matter of time and capacity. You can only do so much. So that's one of the things that we've been trying to work on, is really to fit, be non-prescriptive and really fit into what they're already doing to help support so they can increase what they're able to offer to their students without adding more time and commitments on their plate. And then making it free too, because obviously, you know, rural small town communities, a lot of times there's some financial barriers and challenges. So we really want to make it as accessible as possible. And then that's also kind of goes along with coming to you, right? We'll come to you instead of just focusing on, oh, we're in Madison, so let's do virtual, right? No, we really want to have that in person, meeting people where they're at, really respecting the places that rural and small town students come from.
Nick, you've also said that education deserts are similar to the concept of food deserts, and it makes me wonder about divestment in rural communities or divestment in any specific area where there are not the economic development resources. You're seeing the lack of good food, the lack of educational opportunities. Where are those solutions coming from as you look at these trends?
One thing that comes to mind is a lot of rural places have a narrower portfolio of economic activity. You know, you might have places that are really dependent on timber industry, for example. You might have some places that are very dependent on manufacturing, and to have a really diverse array of an economy is just uncommon in rural places. And so I think one of the policy solutions, or at least sort of strategies that places are using, is how can we get a wider portfolio to make sure that we're not just able to, you know, not live by feast or famine with the economy, but have more sustainable economic sort of engines in these rural places. But also thinking about the degrees that are offered at different colleges that are located in rural places, making sure that the graduates from those colleges can then meet the workforce demand of the future. And I think that's the tension that folks have in these rural places, in fact, anywhere around the country. But the solutions are all about alignment with workforce needs, preparing for tomorrow's economy, but also doing it in a way that is sustainable and not going to just sort of follow the feast and famine cycle of any sort of boom and bust industry. I'm thinking of a lot of manufacturing places throughout the Midwest, not just in Wisconsin, that, you know, sometimes if their workforce isn't diversified enough, it's going to be difficult to continue to grow economically.
Jennifer, can you jump in there on how the workforce can better support these students as they go about their career journey, their education journey?
I would say, especially in rural small town communities, really connecting, and I see this in school districts already, so I'm not saying that this is lacking. It's just, I think, a great opportunity to kind of build it up more, but really partnering with local businesses to offer internships, to get these businesses, these entrepreneurs, these owners, even agricultural companies, to come into schools and talk to students about what are the opportunities that they have. And we've been talking a lot about this, my students and I, of how to really build up the college to career aspect of it, right? Because you go to college, there's that social element, there's that growing, that personal development, but you're also going for a career, right? That's the end goal, is to get a career. So how do we build that up and really connect to students? Like, this is kind of the pathway. And there's multiple different pathways to that career through college, right? You can start a technical college, go to a four-year, you can just do a technical college. There's so many different ways. And it just depends on the student and what works for them. But really connecting those opportunities to the student in high school, even in middle school, just to really help them to see what are the opportunities that are available to them, especially, as Nick said, you know, connecting them back to their community. So I go get a higher degree, how can I come back and rejoin my community, right? Because I want to stay home. I want to come back home. Most young people want to do that. So it's really just kind of emphasizing and formalizing some of those relationships. And then the internships look really great on college applications as well. So it helps students in that way, besides just giving them opportunities of what are the infrastructure that I could be rejoining as after my higher education experience.
Well, Jennifer and Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Thank you again.
That is Jennifer Blazik, director of the College for Rural Wisconsin, a college access program, and Nick Hillman, UW-Madison professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis. We've been talking about trends in education deserts and efforts to ensure Wisconsin students living in rural areas have access to higher ed. Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, the late renowned international filmmaker David Lynch spent time in Madison. We learn about Lynch's art over the years through Tandem Press.
Something about David Lynch's work is it's like very hyper-local, whether that's like the Pacific Northwest or whether that's the Midwest or whether that's Los Angeles.
That's next on WPR News.